This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly Mr. Bradley Dean. Just want to give you a quick shout out if you want to call in at any time, 1-866-582-9933, 1-866-582-9933. You can go to sonsoflibertymedia.com, receive 13 to 15 articles combating the lies of the CIA-controlled media, along with on the right side of sonsoflibertymedia.com. Join us on YouTube, and you can click on and join us on live chat at any given time. We had 1,000 friends on there last week, this last Saturday, and we welcome you to join us as well. Go to beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com. We're on the front page there. Click onto the YouTube. Go to the right side. Join us on live chat. Now, listen, I got a couple guests today, friends, so we're going to have to get right into this. Georgia, man tests mask policies at Kroger. So what I've seen is a video of a young man. His name is Nathan Roberts. I'm going to pull him up here in just a second. And he's walking into stores, educating people as to what the laws are, and confronting those that refuse to know what the laws are. It's interesting how they know unconstitutional laws and edicts, but they don't know the law that protects us, we the people, from such tyrannical orders in so many different ways. So I contacted Nathan right away, and I got him on the radio with us right now, and I said, so Nathan, how do you want me to introduce you? He said, how about this? First and foremost, a Christian American, cool, okay, who is a dad of five. He's been married to the same woman for almost 14 years. He's a young man and happens to be the author of The Doctrine of the Shape of the Earth, a comprehensive biblical perspective. So without further ado, I'm going to pull up Nathan, and we're going to get him in on this conversation. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty, Nathan. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Bradley, I'm great. How are you doing today? Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. How couldn't I have you on? Okay, so what I see is this video going viral, and I pick it up, and I'm looking at this young kid walking into a grocery store, a Kroger's in Georgia, and just taking the law within your own scope and governing yourself and bringing it about to other people that don't know the difference. I just want you to kind of share with the American people as to what's taking place and what it is that you do when you go inside of these stores, Nathan.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm going to even back it up a little bit. The reason I was even motivated to doing that was simply for the fact that it was inducing a lot of anxiety for my wife and myself, because we live in Georgia where, for the most part, these mandates and edicts have not taken a hold very well, because the people down here, they just don't respond to, I don't know, communism as well as other states. And so as soon as these stores started putting out these policies, it really got us a bit nervous. Like, what kind of ridiculousness are we going to have to deal with? So I was like, honey, look, I'm going to go into these stores and I'm just going to start talking with them and find out what are they planning to do to us and how are they going to do it. As well as at the same time, I saw this post on Facebook where it was going around circulating a few different images, all saying the same thing, at least from Walmart's policy standpoint for face mask covering, is that they were saying that any customers that come in and say that they have a religious exemption or a medical condition that prevents them from wearing the mask, or maybe even if they're a young child, they don't have to wear the mask. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was super peculiar. Why is it that Walmart, a big box retailer, is going to provision and allow an exemption of religious immunity? I just thought that was so odd. I'm like, this is a godless institution, in my opinion. So mm-hmm. why are they even recognizing that? So I figure there's got to be some law that they're going about because their lawyers have informed them that, hey, if you go down this path, you guys going to have some issues. But sure enough, I did a search on Google trying to figure out how does this correspond. I found the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I started reading through it, and I found that Title II provides protection to anyone on U.S. American soil that is going into a place of public accommodation, whether that be a private business or even a private land. If it is open to the public, then they have to provision and provide, and they are liable to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which gives ability for us to not be discriminated based upon our race, our color, national origin, and religion. And so that's what I was like, you know what, that must be it. And sure enough, I somehow hit the nail on the head, and I was right. I'm so thankful that so many people have figured this out themselves as well. They see that this is a very legitimate reason as to why Walmart and many other big box retailers, Kohl's, Kroger, Walmart, Publix, all of these stores are recognizing. Now, unfortunately, the mom-and-pop stores have been, I think, they're not as educated, and they're a little more afraid. I think they're kind of being pushed out off the side. So, unfortunately, these mom-and-pop stores are having a difficult time navigating being closed down by these governor's edicts and mandates versus fighting and standing up for their rights. So they're in more of a peculiar situation. But
Nathan, if you look at what's going on here, the government has put the businesses in a position to enforce their unlawful edicts by being the mask police. If the business owners would realize what's going on here, they can actually come together, ally themselves together, and stand up against the unconstitutionalities of what is going on across the country. We know, for example, right now, they're raining down lawsuits all over these self-proclaimed public officials that are instituting or attempting to institute and implement that which is unconstitutional. I got you for about 2 minutes, Nathan. I want to ask you a question. Give me a scenario. When you walk into a Kroger's,
right,
what happens?
So what I do is I go in there and I just kind of talk to the employee for a second and say, hey, you know, what are your guys' immunities here or exemptions for wearing a face mask? And typically, they will acknowledge that they know what they are, or they'll say, oh, I'm not sure. Let me get a manager and talk. You can talk to them. As soon as you talk to the manager, I would say it's just like this. If you have to talk to someone, you have to say, do you discriminate against people for their religious reasons for not wearing a face mask? That puts them in a very peculiar situation because they have got to either go exactly with your civil liberties, or they're going to go against it, because as soon as they understand that word, they understand that word discriminate very well. They know that makes them very legally liable. And I'm almost guarantee most of the time they're going to say, yes, that's fine. We do not discriminate based upon
Amen.
Religious reasons, right?
Amen.
So you just have to put them in a corner. And if they don't, you obviously have some recourses. That is one, you have to definitely be patient. You have to make sure to document the offense that occurred as being a victim. You need to probably send a formal complaint to the business. Maybe send also a formal written complaint to the Civil Rights Division at the Department of Justice, as well as file a lawsuit. And something else that you can do, which is really good, it's called a conditional acceptance. It's a document that you can put out there, and basically you put it on the business, and you tell them, hey, look, based upon all of these XYZ reasons why I don't have to wear a face mask, whether that be for medical reasons or religious exemption reasons, you put it at them and say, if you can't come back to me within 10 days as to why this is not valid, then you, upon acceptance within 10-day period, have acknowledged and accepted this.
Talking to Nathan Roberts right now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you're hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media, it's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. Sons of Liberty Media. Get the news with resolve.
Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty are fighting the good fight of faith to make sure that freedom is preserved for our posterity for generations to come. For our radio program, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and our media website, sonsoflibertymedia.com, we are reaching the masses both nationally and internationally with the message of the gospel and the truth of our biblical and constitutional heritage. At sonsoflibertyradio.com, you will find out how to book Bradley Dean to speak at an event near you, how you can support us in reaching America with this uncompromising message, and how to become a son or daughter of liberty, where you can financially support the work of the Sons of Liberty on a monthly basis and join with us in this fight to restore our nation. Check out sonsoflibertymedia.com as well, which has all the important news and information going on in the world today. There you will find the black and white truth without all the lies you'll see in the mainstream media. sonsoflibertyradio.com and sonsoflibertymedia.com, informative, easy to use, and a little fun too. Two sites that will change your life. Visit them today.
Hi, this is Rob Pugh, publisher of Wisconsin Christian News, a national Christian newspaper, not just for Wisconsin. Thank you for supporting the work of Sons of Liberty. If you're a regular listener here, your eyes are already open to the truth. But if you'd like to open the eyes of others, Wisconsin Christian News is a great tool to help you do that. Subscribe at our website, wisconsinchristiannews.com. Also, check out our TV show, WCN-TV, offering vital information every Wednesday afternoon at WCNTV.net.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Again to the Sons of Liberty, friends, talking with my new friend out of Georgia, Nathan Roberts, who goes into stores and he educates them as to what the law says concerning the unconstitutional edicts concerning mandated masks. Forced compliance is what it is, friends. And what he does is he goes in and he shows them what the law states. Now, friends, I want to take it to Scripture really quick. Faith without works is dead, right? Who said that? Paul did. And I'm sorry, James said that. And it's interesting that Paul comes in and says, I'll show you my faith by my works. James does. Again, forgive me. And James 2:14 through 26 says exactly that. So what are we seeing? We're seeing a young man stand up to the institutions in what they're trying to implement, which is illegal, by learning the process. When he learns the process, he takes it right to the enemy, and he takes their game with the use of law, and he shoves it right back down their throat. That's how you win the game, America. That's what defines a patriot, to uphold dying laws. But without me dragging and being laborious concerning what I know about this, I'm going to give it to Nathan again. And Nathan, go ahead and give them the seven reasons that you want to cover concerning what the people need to know when taking their game, the enemy's game, and bringing it back and shoving it down their own throats.
Yeah, absolutely, Bradley. Thank you so much. And real quick, I got to say this. Remember that phrase, I fought the law and the law won? Well, if you know the law, then you win, and that is the law. So, seven reasons I believe that Christians should not wear a face mask covering from a completely biblical standpoint. And, of course, this is going on to the premise that it's a non-sterile environment, which, for the most part, that's the entire world, right? But yet we're being told to wear these masks wherever we go, with few exceptions. Now, here's the seven reasons. One, your body is a temple of God, and you are not called to harm it, and masks do. Looking at the science, understand it's very split. There's information says it does, information says it doesn't, but there's at least enough information that says that it does. So I believe it does harm our bodies, and we're not supposed to do that to our bodies. Number two, there is no Christian tradition that supports putting a mask or a covering. Only contrary faiths, including Islam and Satanism, do these things. Yep. And Christians are not called to look and act as other faiths. Number three, face masks induce fear. Christians are not to live in fear. Number four, Christians are to live by faith and not by sight, which is what fear is being shown to us right now. Number five, whenever a face covering is mentioned in the Bible, it is an act of shame. Christians are not to be shameful, but rather grateful for the salvation that they have received through Jesus Christ. And we're not supposed to be fearful of death. We're supposed to be fearful of the second death, of which we know we are not fearful of because we know that we have a Savior, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Number six, Christians know that Satan is running the world until Jesus returns. You know, if the whole world is convinced they must wear a mask, then it was accomplished through nothing more than an overly hyped marketing campaign run by Satan through his chosen world leaders and banker minions. And Christians do not obey Satan. And number seven, and we, this is a scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 from the Amplified Version. And we all, that being Christians, with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image, from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Unveiled faith, right? I think that's a very interesting verse. Now, also I want to touch on real quick, sheeple. I got some backlash on using the word sheeple in that video for that lady. I want to remind Christians out there that there is a time and a place to rebuke. And Jesus, if we're supposed to be following after his way, there was times when he called the Pharisees much worse than a sheeple. He called them synagogue of Satan, den of vipers, hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, and much worse. And when I think of the word sheeple, I'm not thinking of the sheep or the flock of God. I'm thinking of transhumanism. These people are willingly, voluntarily going along with wanting to be treated like animals instead of being treated as someone who was made in the image of God. That's what I think of the sheeple. And I do believe that Satan is running this world. A lot of Christians don't think that. They're naively going through their life thinking that Satan doesn't actually live here and he's not a real thing. He's just some entity that's far off into some spiritual sense and he doesn't exist here. No, he's here. I promise you. You look back at Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, and I'll summarize this real quick. The devil took Jesus up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world at one moment. And the devil said, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me," which means he acknowledged that God gave him this dominion. "And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." He's telling this to Jesus. Yep. Jesus responded to him and did not refute his claim, not one bit. And this was back 2,000 years ago. Has anything changed yet? No. Satan is still running the world. Okay? Yep. And even in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." It literally says that in the Bible, right? So I just wanted to make sure people know that, yes, Jesus, he can reign in our own lives, and he is supremely authoritative. But he also gives dominion to Satan for certain things, just as in the book of Job. He was allowed to do many things to Job, but God did not give him dominion over Job's life, so he had to spare his life.
Amen. Now, let me say this in response. Matthew, he says, "Get behind me, Satan. We're to worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. And he also gave us all authority over the works of the enemy. Amen. And we're to be on the offensive, not on the defensive, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." Amen. And it's exactly what I see you doing right now, Nathan. I got to ask you one more question. You're being hit up right now by USA Today, the mainstream media. You've got their attention. I'm kind of curious to know as to what are the questions that they're asking you right now? And I'd also caution you to be very careful because they always act like your friends until you see what they write about you.
Oh, absolutely. And I do not have high hopes that they will do anything but lie and to distract the people from the truth. But at the very least, I'm giving responses that I believe, as a Christian, I'm called to know, to tell people what the hope is we have. I have done that to the best of my ability. One thing I did was I directed them to your guys' website, so thank you guys for covering that story. Because you guys laid out the information on there very well. And then secondly, I gave them the 7 points that I just listed to you as to why Christians shouldn't be wearing a face mask or covering in a non-sterile environment. And I just left it at that. You know, I said, you know, if at the end of the day, these people, who run the media, if there's nothing I can do against them that's going to change their mind and how they're going to do stuff. They are who they are. But all we can do is speak the truth and let God be true and every man a liar. And God's going to judge those who unrighteously judge us in their due time.
Amen.
So we just do our best. And I guess real quick, I want to at least point out that you know what, my website, I know you got to go, you got more in other persons, so thank you for giving me this moment to be on here. I really appreciate it.
We'll do it again. We'll do it again. You keep us abreast as to what's going on, Nathan, and we will get you back on the radio. We're going to give you the coverage that you need to make sure that you're on the offensive so you don't have to go into the defensive. You already understand the law is there to protect us. It's there to condemn the wicked and justify the righteous, Deuteronomy 25, verse 1, and the list goes on. You have an open door here, my friend. I'm proud of what you're doing. You keep doing what you're doing because you're making your kids proud of their daddy in a big way, and even more than that, a wise son maketh a glad father, and that's what you are doing concerning our Heavenly Father even now. Now, one more question, Nathan, before I let you go. How do people get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of these documentations where they can take it into the stores with them?
Well, that's great. I think you actually have them on your website, so I definitely want to direct people to your website for that. I do have them also on my website, but they're a little bit of a hidden link. But I do want people to go check out my website. It's flatearthdoctrine.com. That's FlatearthDoctrine.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And also, I've got a cool T-shirt. I just want to let you guys know. It's the one I wore in the video. It says, "My Liberty" on the front. My liberty does not end where your fear begins. But on the very back, it has the U.S. Constitution preamble along with the first 13th Amendment. So I wear that proudly wherever I go. So if anyone wants to pick that up, they can get it off my website.
We totally appreciate you, brother. And again, if you need anything, you let us know. We'll be there. We'll do our best to give you some coverage on sonsoflibertymedia.com and on 128 radio stations, as well as broadcasting into 53 countries. Folks, this is Christianity in action, and we need a whole lot more of this going on in this country. Nathan, we appreciate you, brother, and we will talk at you soon.
God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Bradley.
Amen, sir. Folks, well, here we go. We have Catherine. She's a U.S. constitutional attorney. I have her online right now with me, and I was introduced to her through one of our friends and asked me if I would get her up on the radio program with me. So I talked to Catherine a couple times. Catherine Henry is her name, and we're going to pull her up next segment and the segment after that, and we're going to put her to the test, and we're going to see what it is that a constitutional attorney stands for today and what it is that they may not stand for. So we'll just use the Word of God, and we'll bring it to the Constitution. I read it this morning again, and we'll take her to task, or maybe she'll take me to task. If you want to call in at any time, please do, friend. 1-866-582-9933, 1-866-582-9933. And one more time, if you want to watch us live, go to sonsoflibertymedia.com, join us on YouTube, join us on live chat, and then if you want to also go over to beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com, you can do the same thing over there on Before It's News. 1-866-582-9933. And by the way, if this is the first time listening to the sonsoflibertyradio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. We follow the Christ here, Andrew Jackson, the seventh president. The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. Kathy Henry, up with me next.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
I'll do it myself if I have to. I have a lot of powers with respect to executive orders, and we're looking at that very seriously right now.
President Trump at the White House on Monday hinting at possible executive orders regarding a new coronavirus stimulus relief bill and getting money in the hands of families that are still suffering during the coronavirus pandemic. The president continues regarding Democrats' wants in the bill.
They're slow rolling it, and all they're really interested in is bailout money to bail out radical left governors and radical left mayors like in Portland and places that are so badly run.
Researchers at Johns Hopkins University say the United States on Sunday saw 47,000 new cases of coronavirus. That's the lowest that we've seen in the last 4 weeks. You're listening to USA Radio News. Remembrances are taking place in El Paso, Texas, to mourn the loss of 23 people who were murdered in a Walmart. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has details.
It's the one-year anniversary of the deadly El Paso Walmart mass shooting when a total of 23 people were shot and killed and 23 others were wounded. It launched a flurry of legislative hearings that included Ed Scruggs with an organization called Texas Gun Sense. But he says despite the initial outrage, nothing has changed since a year ago. Because of the coronavirus, reunions and memorials today to mark the anniversary are being held virtually.
9 people are dead and 24 others hurt after another weekend of violence in Chicago. The first incident left a 9-year-old dead. Police say the child was an unintended target when shots were fired toward a group of people. Last week, Chicago Democratic Mayor Lori Lightfoot requested more security for herself. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Oh, my goodness. We could do another show here, friends. We got my friend Catherine, constitutional attorney. Catherine Henry is her name. Now, I got to do a little bit of an intro here for you, okay? Catherine Henry is the founder of the Restore Freedom Initiative and the owner attorney of Catherine Henry PC. She has 19 years of experience in the legal field, originally being licensed to practice in the state of Minnesota, now being admitted to practice in the state of Michigan, Saginaw, Chippewa Tribal Court, Michigan's federal court districts, and the United States Supreme Court. She provides our constitutional representation, education, advocacy to help restore our government to one of the people, by the people, and for the people. I love it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up Catherine really quick. Thank you for joining us, Catherine. I totally appreciate it. And I meant only to carry over Nathan one segment, but I actually went an extra one. I didn't know that he was that good on radio, but he was. As a matter of fact, he should get his own radio show going if he's still listening, his wife and his children as well, because he's very good there. But with that said, thank you for holding on, Catherine. What I want to do right off the bat is there was over 400 that graduated constitutional courses, a law course, to become attorneys. And all 400 of them, Catherine, when asked to make reference to as or whereas a law comes from, not a one of them could point the finger back at the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the way that the Constitution does, especially when it comes down to state preambles. So I'm curious, let's just start this conversation off, Catherine Henry, as to where does constitutional law come from? Who do we make reference to?
Well, our constitutional law is the source of that is not the government. The source of that is not Congress or the president or our governors. The source of constitutional law is it's the Constitution, and it came from we the people. So we the people made a contract to come together as one nation. And in order to come together as one nation, we wanted to make sure there were certain terms and conditions that would we would all abide by, so that we wouldn't have the issues again which led to us coming up with the Declaration of Independence.
That's right. I was just going to go to the seedbed, the U.S. Declaration of Independence, which, by the way, many call the preamble to the U.S. Constitution on so many different fronts. It makes four references to God, and it's interesting how people would know the difference. As a matter of fact, we could even go back a little bit further than that, which preceded that when it comes down to the Mayflower Compact, and it does nothing but smack of the pulpit the way that our forefathers, that's how they worded it, and obviously here we are. It's interesting, Catherine, because we went to Jamestown, and that's where our forefathers arrived back in the 1600s. And when we got there, the first thing that we noticed was this little fortified town. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but the first thing you see when you walk through the doors, you see the ship, the replica of the ship, and then you walk through the doors going into this little fortified town, and the first thing you see is that church. And when you walk inside of the church, it tells us right on the wall, it has on one side of the pulpit, it has Exodus 20, and then on the right side, it has Acts 2:38. And it's interesting how people are so confused as to our heritage and who it is that gave us our rights, because rightfully said, it was John F. Kennedy that said, "Think not that your rights come from the state. They come not from the state, but they come from the hand of God." What say you as an attorney? And I get the second question to that is, obviously you know the answer. What is it that you're up against when you're seeing what's taking place to the commandments of men that make void God's commandments?
Well, that's not a loaded question or anything.
Oh, sorry.
I agree that our rights do come from God. In fact, it says right in our U.S. Constitution, in the preamble, the actual preamble, not just the Declaration of Independence, but it says that we created our whole Constitution to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. So in order to secure those blessings of liberty, where did those come from? Well, we get our blessings from God. And here in the state of Michigan, we also have our state constitution, which comes right out and also says in our preamble that we get our blessings of freedom from Almighty God. So it's not a bad thing for us to be able to acknowledge that, number one, God does exist, and number two, that we get our rights from Him, and we protect them with provisions in our state and federal constitutions. Going down the whole church and state dichotomy or argument is a conversation, I think, for a whole other day, or several conversations for several days. But in essence, though, we do get our rights from God, and we have that contract in terms of that constitution that is the supreme law of the land here among men about how we must act in order to make sure we are ensuring and protecting those rights given to us by God.
Amen. Let me segue it into something that we had talked about before. Case law versus statutory constitutional law versus God's law.
Right. So, you know, what's interesting is that, and I'm going to be honest, you know, I myself was in this very frame of reference in starting this whole COVID-19 stuff. I knew things were wrong. I knew things were unconstitutional. Here in our state, our governor is definitely acting illegally outside the bounds of our state statutes. But, you know, I didn't really dig into it too much at the beginning or really understand it. And that's because, you know, you go to, especially as a lawyer, you go to law school and you're taught all about case law. You're taught about, we're taught about cases right from the very beginning before we even ever had a country, before we ever had a constitution. We're taught about cases about property law and different things that are happening, you know, over in England long before our country was established. And I get that shows the history and the genesis of, you know, certain elements of how we get to be with certain laws on the books today. However, what it does is it distracts us as attorneys in all across the country. I mean, I went to a very good law school in Minnesota. Nothing bad about the law school. All of them do it. It distracts us from recognizing that, number one, our Constitution is the Constitution. And so the only job of the justices and the judges that are all, you know, at different levels of government, their job is not to create law.
That's
we don't actually have law. We have case opinions. We have an opinion of a judge or justice or, you know, group of judges or justices who have come together to write an opinion to explain what law may apply or how it might apply in a certain situation. But to the extent that our state constitution is very clear on a particular point, that constitution controls, whether it's our state or U.S. constitution, that constitution controls, period. And then if that constitution does not speak to that particular issue and we have a state law on point, then the law controls, and the judges don't get to just rewrite it or change it or, you know, interpret it in a variety of ways. We have to look to the actual language of those constitutions and the language of the laws themselves, and we have to step away from all this garbage that's been thrown in there when we have judges and justices that, you've heard the term legislate from the bench. Yep. They are trying to create what laws are, and everyone talks about it. Even the biggest advocates, the people that I have looked up to for years, yep, on how to fight for our rights and how to fight for our religious freedoms, and they start the conversation with, well, we have these cases from the U.S. Supreme Court that, yep, say, no, look at the language of the Constitution and go from there.
Yep.
That's where we should be.
It's exactly right. Article 3, Section 1, their purpose is to play the referee, per se, in the courtroom, make reference to God's moral law, Deuteronomy 25, in reference to his moral law, Exodus 20. It is not to act the part of a legislator, but this is what we see continuously. So, which, by the way, brings me right to the point of God's law versus man's law. Okay, so you have the government acting outside of their scope of authority and saying that now we can sanction the murder of the innocent babies. What do they want to do now? They want to remove God's moral law, which condemns the actions of those that are sanctioning the murder of the innocent in the womb. Now we see the government coming in without making reference to God's moral law. You can find it in every state statute, for example, Catherine, and it's condemning homosexuality. Now we have a government, we have a current administration that's advocating now what God condemns. How is it that they're getting away with what they're getting away with then?
Well, number one, I think too many Christians are not really paying attention to what Romans 13 says, but that's, I guess, a whole other conversation. But
it's a great one, though, but good point.
We're not educating ourselves. We are not staying involved and demanding governmental transparency, accountability, and accessibility. So for so many years, decades and decades, my whole life for sure, of course, I'm only like 20. But, you know, we have grown up thinking of government being this thing that just gets to exist, and it has its own rights and responsibilities, and it's like its own entity unto, yep, itself, and we answer to it, and it just grows and grows, and then we're more disenfranchised, and then we step away and we throw up our hands and we go, oh my gosh, I don't know what I could possibly do about this. So we just end up feeling so lost and so hopeless that we run away from it and say, I guess there's nothing I can do. And so the number one thing we need to do is not let the government win anymore. Call them out on their garbage. And in fact, I can go through a whole bunch of stuff in a minute here, but you know, I guess maybe a good starting point would be to tell you kind of what I've been doing and then how that can segue into what people could be doing themselves.
Amen. I'm just thinking right now constitutionally to reinforce our message here, Article 6, Section 2, where it talks about the Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof. Okay, so again, going back to what we were talking about originally, Catherine, staying to the same topic here, it's interesting that man's law versus God's law, man's law, when it comes into place, regardless if it's case law or not, becomes null and void according to the U.S. Constitution. Then how is it that that survives, and yet the U.S. Constitution is going under little by little? And I think that you hit that point great. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And we have too many biblically illiterates and too many constitutional illiterates in this country. So what is happening? We're being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Folks, we're talking to Catherine Henry, constitutional attorney from Michigan. We're going to bring her right back up on the other side. We're going to keep going back and forth to give you an understanding as to how to deal with the issues constitutionally.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hello, everyone. This is documentary filmmaker Tom Dunn from ThroughTheBlack.com. If you are looking for a clear and logical take on what's going on in government and are tired of shows that are run by hidden agendas and lack of common sense, then check out Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, friends, talking to Catherine Henry, a constitutional attorney from that of Michigan. And I get the name Catherine messed up because I'm used to saying Kathy, but she's doing an outstanding job. And I just wanted to kind of take it to task right away to see how far we could go. And Catherine knows exactly what she's talking about. So with that said, I want to go back and just kind of hit you back up, Catherine, with the fact that there's a supremacy clause. And the question was basically man's laws versus God's laws. And basically, when I read the supremacy clause in Article 6, Section 2, man's laws become null and void. But what we see is the opposite happening today, where man's laws take precedent over God's laws in this country. And obviously, that's the obvious answer as to why we're in trouble today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. What's funny is that in the segment a moment ago, you kind of made a slip of the tongue, so to speak, and you said, you know, the trouble we're in is because people aren't aware of, you know, the biblical passages that are relevant here. And you said that, and then you corrected yourself to say something about, you know, what the laws say or the Constitution says. And I think both are extremely accurate. We need to know what God's law is, and we need to know what the Constitution is. And then we need to know how powerful each of those are and what their roles are, because everything else comes after those two things.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. So when you talk about the activist judges and those that are legislating from the bench, it absolutely amazes me how they, as you said earlier, that they become a law unto themselves, and people begin to make reference to them. Like, for example, the Supreme Court is the final say when it negates God's moral law. No, just the opposite is true. Again, going back to the supremacy law and found in the Constitution. So let me take it to the next question. I want you to go ahead and tell me what it is that you're doing as a constitutional attorney in educating the people across the boards that are willing to give their ear to the message that you're giving.
So it's interesting because I started in the first week of April when our government was shut down, the middle of March, shut down, so everything. And so by the first week of April, our legislature was considering whether they would extend the state of emergency, allowing the governor to keep us on shutdown. And I said, no, enough is enough. So I just started reaching out to every legislator that I personally knew, radio hosts that I personally knew, and try to get that message out to people. Like, you need to call your legislators. You need to tell them, no, do not vote to extend. Unfortunately, they did, but they started to listen. And in a series of interesting things that God has all been putting together, I've been using whatever avenues have been placed in front of me. So the biggest thing is through Facebook, but also YouTube, and a variety of other basically social media avenues, lots of rallies that I'll kind of mention in a minute. But, you know, thousands of people have been coming to know me through those avenues where I'm simply talking about, here's what the law is. Here's what the Constitution says. Here's what, you know, this particular executive order from our governor says. Just breaking things down and explaining it, because there are no other attorneys that seem to be stepping up to do that, to explain things to people, at least in the state of Michigan.
That was going to be one of my questions. Where are all the constitutional attorneys that are willing to stand up? Right now, you'd think they'd just be raining. They'd be just all over the place making themselves available concerning the unconstitutional edicts coming from these governors. Now, let me just go in on that conversation, Catherine. And by the way, we're going to do this again, most definitely. But I'm curious, isn't it interesting how the American people have taken on the unconstitutional edicts as if to suggest that's law? And then when you make reference to the law, they act like you're out there on your own trying to enforce something that doesn't exist. I mean, do you find this over and over and over again? And where does it come? Where does it come where the governor in your state, because she's a prime example of what's going wrong with this country right now, because we notice that every time the people in Michigan stand up, she stands up a little bit higher to defy what the law says by bringing in the unconstitutional edicts once again. How is it that she's getting away with it? We know the answer, but I just want to educate the people that don't know the difference.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's to the point, and just to give the frame of reference, it's to the point that I'm someone, first of all, that has a disability. So I agree with, you know, some reasons. I didn't catch all seven, but I did catch some of the reasons that were shared by your previous guest about why as Christians we shouldn't be wearing masks. But in addition to that, I have medical reasons why I can't wear masks, and I have, you know, doctor's note and everything about that. So even if I'm going to play along with Gretchen Whitmer's game here in Michigan, I would still be considered exempt. But I walk into a store or into a restaurant, and I'm looked at as though I'm a criminal.
Yep.
Like I'm about to harm someone.
Yep.
So it's really a disgusting place to be right now.
It's dangerous.
It's
dangerous. I mean, she's even gone so far in your state to tell business owners that you either become the mask police, and when they come into your store, if they don't have a mask on, you're not even to serve them. In other words, you can't buy or sell Revelations 13:7 unless you comply with my tyrannical acts.
Absolutely. She is literally threatening people with misdemeanors. She's threatening them with license violations to pull their liquor licenses or their business licenses, or, you know, Carl the barber to pull their licenses, things like that. All over the state, that's the concern that people are having when they call me and they say, I don't know what to do because I need to be able to survive. Yep. I need to be able to pay for my bills and feed my children. And so, but basically the thing that's happening is, number one, it's some of the fear-mongering in general, just with, you know, in terms of the coronavirus itself, but also, you know, the fear, like I just mentioned, of people that know COVID-19 is no more deadly than the flu. They know the danger of wearing masks. They know all of that, but they're afraid about how to handle a government that has gone so awry. And so you have people, you know, even things like the Small Business Administration of Michigan, or Small Business Association, excuse me, of Michigan, it's being run by our former lieutenant governor here. And it's really disturbing to me that I went to a business recently, and it said right on the door, there was a mask sign that said, welcome. And it says, by Executive Order 2020-147 from Governor Whitmer, face coverings are required to enter this business. And then this particular sign actually had a little asterisk, and it said, unless you're under the age of 5 or for persons granted a medical exemption. Now, number one, we have far more exemptions in that that the governor herself put in there. Number two, there is no such thing as granting a medical exemption. That's not even how the language of the order goes. But number three, it is not the law to do this. And that's where a lot of these signs have said, flat out, it's wear a mask, it's the law. No, it's not even the law. And so what's happening is that, like you said, people are blindly following whatever particular, you know, whoever is the loudest, basically. And so our governor has been screaming the loudest about this and telling everybody, make sure you, you know, you go after your fellow citizen if they, you report them if they're not following my rules. You make sure that you're telling on them, because we need to do what I say we're going to do, because I'm going to keep you safe, because it's my job to do that as governor. No, it's not her job to do that. It's our job to put her in her place, because it's we the people here in the state of Michigan and in the United States. It's our job to tell them what we want. And certainly, we need, in order to do that, we need to understand what laws are and what they aren't, what constitutional provisions really entail and what they don't. And so something that I have taken for granted for many years, and something that I'm going to try to educate people all over the United States, but especially in Michigan, is, like you said, if there is a provision of state law or even of a state constitution that goes against our U.S. Constitution, it's void on its face. It cannot be enforced. There is no need to go to court for it, because it's as though it doesn't even exist. Now, the same thing holds true for state constitutions. If you have a state constitution that is clear about something, and then you have a state law or an executive order or any kind of government action at all that goes against what that state constitution says, the state constitution wins every time, hands down, and you do not need to go to court to have a judge tell you that. You have rights as an individual created by God, living in the United States, where we have this country founded upon this contract called the Constitution. Amen. So we need to make sure that we're educating ourselves and not following blindly, you know, to all of these you know, different directives and bullying tactics.
That's right.
So, and
that's
we need to stand together.
That's right. They're browbeating into submission through forced compliance, and it's illegal, and Americans need to understand who the enemies of the state are at this particular time. Folks, we are out of time. We got Catherine Henry, a U.S. constitutional attorney, and it has been fantastic. As a matter of fact, Catherine, we're going to have you come back up with us shortly here. She's going to be with me, by the way, friends, August 14th at Stand Up America for the Thin Blue Line, and I'm going to lay this to you during the last minute that we have, if even that. Catherine, can you go ahead and share with the people as to how they can get a hold of you, please?
Oh, absolutely. RestoreFreedomMI.com is the website. RestoreFreedomMI for Michigan.com. Same thing at the Gmail, RestoreFreedomMI@gmail.com. Our phone number, our Facebook, our YouTube, all those other links are located right on there at RestoreFreedomMI.com.
Amen. Thank you again, Catherine. We totally appreciate you. And again, we're going to do this all over again. Folks, thank you for tuning in today. We love you by what we do. 1 John 3:18. And we will talk to you in 23 hours. All right? 1 John 3:18. See ya.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.